My guest today is Radfemme Hitler. She runs an anonymous account, a very entertaining anonymous account on X, formerly Twitter. You can find her at Hollow Earth Turf. And she is spearheading a Radfemme revolution on the Heaven site and becoming quite influential. Today we speak about her journey from 2016 Trumpian to becoming a dissident to the dissidents nowadays. We also speak about her disillusionment with liberal feminism and then the trans space and the current degradation of both men and women. This is the first half of our discussion. The rest of our discussion is on Substack. You can find that at alexdeschutes.com. If you want to access the whole archive, everything I've ever written, I think everything I've ever written after a certain point and everything I've ever recorded. Or if you just want to listen to the podcast, then patreon.com/agaysubversive is the destination for you. Our entire conversation also covers our discussion on gender segregated spaces, what makes for a good marriage, avoiding divorce, and much more. So please head there if you're interested in our extended chat. Enjoy. Maybe we can start with a little bit of background info, a bit of lore. I obviously, without revealing much, you know, very intimate details of your life, but kind of what brought you to the right wing? Because I think this is kind of the background of Radfemme. The fact that you were right wing, or I mean, it's maybe in some ways you still are, but you're not associated with kind of the core of the trad dissident sphere. You're kind of a dissident to the dissidents. Yeah. And I wonder how you got in that position. Like, what was the first attraction to the space for you?
Right. From right wing to kind of homeless politically. Yeah. So I grew up in a pretty conservative family. I didn't grow up evangelical or anything super hardcore, social conservative or anything quite like that. I mean, I kind of am an ex-Mormon, but that's not quite, like how it is for most people. Because my mom essentially converted while we were living overseas. I think she was just kind of looking for a community, and my mom's she's a bit hippy dippy, kind of she's a hard woman to describe. She's a little weird. And we'll just kind of do things like that. Like, just up and moved us to the Middle East and then decided, hey, let's go be Mormons for funsies. So I was involved in that community for a little bit, but not to the point where I'm a hardcore, ex-evangelical. I grew up with a really socially conservative lifestyle. I'm from the Midwest. I've talked about this before. The Midwest is actually, it's weirdly kind of progressive. People think of it as a very conservative place, but in regards to gender roles and men and women, they're actually pretty equal, surprisingly. And there's not a lot of there's not a lot of what's the word? I can't polarity. Think of it. But yeah, there's not a lot of polarity. Thank you. There's actually not quite a lot of that in the Midwest. People are a bit de-sexed almost. But I did grow up in a kind of normal conservative Midwest household. Everyone in my family voted Republican, but this was also in the 2000s, they were voting for Bush and stuff. It wasn't anything intense like that, it was not the evangelical vote or anything. So I just kind of grew up normie, conservative. My family liked Bush, liked Romney, the usual people. They did vote for Trump, but some people in my family they didn't hate him, but I think my aunt didn't like some of the stuff he said about grabbing by the pussy and stuff like that, kind of normal middle class sensibilities. They find that stuff a bit distasteful. And then when I went to college, I got into libertarianism, as many college students in America do. And then libertarianism kind of became this route to getting really into Trump. And I was really into Trump when I was in college. That was about the time that he was running. Really got into him. I think we set up a Students for Trump thing on my campus and everything. And I don't know. I think I just kind of, I was so online in college. And I was also very, I don't know. I lived kind of a double life. I was I had a very much a normie life outside of the internet. But then I would come home and go online and like be reading these like horrible books and just giving myself brain worms. And I think a lot of it just stemmed from kind of my own allergy to like liberal feminism. I had a big problem with it. I didn't like this encouraging of like hookup culture and like, oh, you're gonna empower yourself by sleeping with a bunch of dudes. I was like, that sounds like a scam. Like, that's not how, like, you know, that's what the values like my family had at all. Everyone was, you know, like normal and like married and had families and stuff. And, you know, I still very much thought of that as like very much the standard. And I didn't really like what I was seeing at school. So I think I kind of went like really hard the other way as a reaction to that. And I thought like the answer to kind of, I guess, degeneracy, as you would say, was to be very, very like hardcore kind of social con in a way. And like really promoting like traditional values and marriage. And it's not that I'm against marriage now. It's just I have a different, less idealistic view of what that means. And I actually think of I see it now as people in the past more now saw it, actually. In a way, it's more traditional. I think the way we see it now is, like, in the post-war period is kind of an anomaly. And a lot of young people and people my age, like millennials, Zoomers, have kind of, like, woken up to that. Like, they're kind of seeing more so what their grandparents and older saw in regards to marriage. And they're kind of like, I don't know. I don't know if I exactly want that. And I think that that's like a big part of like the sprinkle movement now. People are kind of going two ways about it. I would say with women, they're either like saying, okay, we're going to make this full utilitarian then, and I'm going to get like as much money as I can out of the situation, or I'm going to hold out for real love and not settle for any of this. So I think those are the two kind of options that women are at now, now that they've kind of grown up and seen the world a bit and been exposed to more, and especially online, we've been exposed to so much of what men are saying about women and kind of their views about what a wife is and what they see like family is actually for. And for many women, it's not aligning with what we thought it was, because I think a lot of young boys are kind of raised on like lad culture and like porn. And a lot of young women were raised on, like I was, on rom-coms and romanticism and like this fantasy. So it's not really aligning. And essentially me kind of going fully down that rabbit hole of like traditionalism and jumping full feet first all the way into that, and then kind of, I don't know, getting a bit boiled alive in that situation. Now I've kind of come to a more nuanced view in regards to marriage and family and how women should navigate the world.
Yeah, it is interesting that, you know, there's some similarities there. I mean, I was out of college. I actually studied some form of kind of gender for economics when I was in college. Uh-huh. And it was very Marxist. I studied in Europe, so.
Yeah,
it was very, very Marxist. And then it kind of hit me when I was kind of in the workforce already. Like, there were all these, like, I mean, I'm from Eastern Europe, you know, things are very, they're dysfunctional here, but they're kind of straightforward. There was a certain, you know, there's all sorts of corruption, but there was a relative meritocracy. There's a weird kind of like old world balance between the sexes.
Yeah.
And when I stepped, I was working in London, kind of these were my kind of bigger, you know, better adult jobs that I've had after college. And there was this whole kind of superstructure of, you know, call it HR, but this, you know, almost kind of this second language. And I it felt so stilted and weird to me that, you know, people were trying to navigate not, you know, I guess sexual harassment codes and all this type of stuff. And I remembered how it is to engage naturally with the opposite sex. And it just felt really weird to me. And it felt kind of exploitable as well. And, you know, I was also kind of encountering all sorts of narratives about, I guess, white men and all this type of stuff. And at the same time, I was living in like really shitty, you know, East London dwellings with, you know, what was not white men.
I thought, you know, people actually, the white men comparatively better than the situation that I have here. So it felt really jarring. And I don't know, for some reason, I can't take hypocrisy from people. And obviously I started poking at it. And then I got obviously into online politics. And then I found Nick Land and Curtis Yarvin and, you know, the whole canon of HBD and essentially... That was kind of my online education.
It was very similar to myself. Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. I just can't take people being, I don't know if hypocritical, but these whole construction, these whole mind palaces that they build around things that are just, they're just not sustainable. You know, they're just not natural. And now I think a lot of people have built something like that on the right as well.
Yes.
And the thing is, what I've noticed, and to be honest, it's probably been a few years since that, because it was about 1 year after I started the podcast. There was that murder, the Bianca Devins murder or something like that. And that was the first like really jarring event to me online, where, you know, people called for my head because I was like, maybe don't support decapitation people. You know, I was counter signaling the old heads, and it was very aggressively people moved against me, and it just felt really like, okay, is there any limit to this? Obviously, this is, you know, I know a lot of people have all sorts of opinions about this case. You know, both people involved in this case had serious mental disorders. There's a whole backstory about him, you know, mentally torturing him, and then he slit her throat in a car. So I know there are all sorts of interpretations of this. You know, people have come to me and told me, actually, you know, you don't understand the case. I mean, this is a 17-year-old woman or girl who was murdered in a car by a guy. And whatever happened before that, that doesn't really take away from the fact that this happened.
Right.
Like, it's a bad thing. So the fact that we couldn't agree on the fact that it was even a bad thing without, you know, invoking the lore of what she had said to him and what type of e-girl she was. And, you know, obviously people were pouring all their frustrations into this one case and seeing this as, you know, Medusa beheaded. And I was just like, oh, you know, things were getting pretty, pretty weird for me. And yeah, I mean, you know, I definitely have my misgivings about things. I wonder what was your inflection point? I guess your marriage was your inflection point.
That was a big one, but I actually had a couple prior to that. It wasn't just like one central event. You know, it's something I really believed in and was involved in for many years. So it took a couple, I want to say 2-3 years of kind of slowly being like, what the fuck? Like, and there's a couple specific instances I remember, and early on there was this, it was another kind of similar case, but it was even worse than this, because for the obviously there's no justifying slitting this girl's throat, like regardless of her, you know, whatever she was doing with this boy and like leading him on. But there was another case, like smaller, and it was, I think they were like in middle school too. Like these kids were like really young, and this guy like asked this girl out and she just said no. And I think she like barely even knew him. Like it was just like some crazy incel kid. And he like stabbed her with like a pen or something. It was in a classroom. So I don't know if he had a knife on him or what it was, but essentially he attacked her. In some middle school in like Arkansas or something. And I just remember all the guys in this one Facebook group I was in being like, no, that's understandable. Like, I totally get it. I've been there, like where I've wanted to do this. And I'm like, wait, what? What the fuck are you talking about? Like, it just completely blew my mind. And it made me realize like, oh, we are actually not on the same page. Like, I got into this because I thought that like the traditional family structure is just what's good for people, good for everyone, good for society, good for women, good for men, good for children. And I believe in like, you know, love. And I'm realizing, oh no, they're here because of like sheer resentment. Like they actually just like, they want to be in a family, but like they also like hate the woman that's going to be like essentially forced to be there with them. At that moment, I first realized, like, oh, our mindsets, our psyches, like, they are actually completely different. We've kind of arrived at some of the same conclusions, but on a very, very different set of, like, values and reasoning and, like, emotions, even. Like, fundamentally, we are just not at all actually on the same page. Like, we do not want the same things in reality. And I agree with a lot of what you were saying earlier about how, like, these mind palaces people are creating. And I think a lot of my poking at the left in my younger days came out of that desire. And once the right kind of started, I noticed they were doing the same thing. Now, essentially, I'm just kind of doing the same thing, but with people on the right. I don't know. I feel this need, I guess. It's like you said, like, you get really upset with hypocrisy or whatever it is you want to call it. And I have that urge too. It's not even like hypocrisy. I think it's just kind of like delusion almost. Like, I just want to, like, tear it down and, like, show them, like, no, this is not actually what's going on.
You know, what's even, I don't know, kind of scarier to me is that, you know, now I have two little boys and I see these people, like, suffering in public. You know, I don't know their backstories. You know, there are thousands of them. I mean, just, you know, I just posted something, just, you know, psychically destroying themselves. And I think it's, you know, downstream from the fact that life really is very ambiguous nowadays. Like, it really, no one knows exactly what you should do. And I think that's kind of what attracted me to the right and what, you know, keeps me in large part on the right is the fact that, you know, there are things that are older than us that we can draw inspiration from. Should you take them, you know, 100% at their word, you know, whatever, you know, online preacher says that you should be doing biblical marriage and headship and all this type of stuff? Probably not. Is there important wisdom in that? I think so.
Yeah.
Is it still on our shoulders to analyze that stuff and, you know, make our own conclusions? Yeah, I think it is, you know, because I see, you know, people really going hard on the mind palaces with a lot of these things. So, I mean, it really drives it home for me that I don't want my sons to fall down rabbit holes like this, because it's kind of a, you know, it's a multiplayer game. It's not real politics. I mean, you know, I have a podcast. This is entertainment. It's, you know, people get very, very invested in this. This is their life. They make up all sorts of kind of narratives about learned helplessness, about, you know, nothing is possible. You can't buy a house. You can't have a wife. You can't talk to women. They're going to post things about you on TikTok. They're, you know, just kind of an infinity, a laundry list of things that keeps you in your house just stewing. You know, there was a young guy today on my thread who was saying that his friends, Zoomer friends, are plotting rape caravans in group chats and stuff like that. And it's just, it made me smile, because I'm like, you know, it made me smile with horror. I don't know what it is, but, like, at the same time, this is obviously a young guy. You know, I'm keeping an ear out for the rape caravans on the news, but I feel like this is going to stay in the group chat, at least for, you know, for now, before the incel revolution starts. But it's, you know, it's kind of endearing, but at the same time, you know, these people are wasting their youth. They're wasting their youth. I mean, there's fraternity, I'm sure, you know, these people, they're uniting, something unites them, their resentment, their problems. But there's such a big world out there. I know it's not the same. Like, in Romania, you just open your door and you go out on the field, and maybe it's a little bit freer than it is in the US. But still, you know, there must be some sort of affordances in their environment where they could just do something, you know, touch grass, go out there and you know, stop stewing.
I mean, I do sympathize with a lot of problems young people are having today, particularly in Western countries and in the United States. It's just getting harder and harder. It's not what their boomer parents had, and it's frustrating because their parents also seem to be in denial of the fact that that's even happening. And in many ways, it can feel like just very, I still see, like, a lot of opportunity here. Like, I would still rather live here, honestly, than anywhere else. There is still a lot you can do. And I don't know how long that will keep up for. I mean, there's a lot of people who seem to be, they're convinced the collapse is happening, not just convinced of it, but they are, you can tell, they want it to happen. Like, they're excited for this. And it's kind of perverse. But I think for the time being, there's still a lot you can do in this country. And it's a shame that so many young people already feel that it's just a hopeless situation. And it's funny to me too that there's just like not more sympathy with some of these, when they see, when they like to post like these TikToks of like, I don't know, some like dumb liberal girl being like crying about her awful job, or how like she's convinced that we're all going to be dead in 20 years because of climate change, or, you know, she's got all this, she like doesn't leave her house anymore because she's still terrified of like catching COVID or something. And I'm like, you guys have like the same sort of neuroses. It's just like about a different set of things. Like, all of yours are like, well, I can't get women, I can't get an actual job, I'll never be able to do X, Y, and Z, I just want to sit in my house and play video games. It's honestly, a lot of it's the same pathologies, and it's the same sort of learned helplessness. And it's funny that they all kind of make fun of the other for having a different kind of one, rather than, I don't know, it would be nice if they could be able to kind of see that they're all kind of suffering from the same sort of environment that's taken away a lot of their opportunity, and they're both coping with it in actually very similar ways. It just looks a little bit different on the outside, but it's very similar, and they're all feeling a lot of the same feelings, actually. There's such an insistence on how men and women are so fundamentally different, but I don't know, when I see people actually in pain, and when they're both kind of, like you said before, like, when they're both kind of just stewing in that sort of learned helplessness, you realize how there's so many fundamentally similar things, even like with men and women. Like, we are just all people at the end of the day, and we're all kind of suffering from this sort of like lack of purpose and this lack of being able to envision our own futures and like a good future. So I don't know. It's the internet's certainly not helping the situation. It's just kind of making everyone point their fingers at each other and blame the other and get very, I don't know, like self-righteous, I guess. But it'd be nice if people kind of looked at themselves for a moment. And I do see this particular on the right. There's so much finger pointing about women being gossipy and catty and every sort of negative trait that they can imagine. But I've never actually been in a more like catty, gossipy, mean, nasty, shaming group of people than like the internet right. Like, these people are so many of them are just so antisocial. Like, they just completely lack any sort of ability to exist in groups of people. And it's so funny how much they talk about high trust societies when it's like, I think you are probably the least capable people of producing that. Like, look at the environment here. It's just constant infighting and doxing each other, and just the gossip is out of control. Everyone participates in gossip, I think, to some degree, but I've never quite seen it like here. It's, I don't know, like, these men need to be back in the mines for something. They need something to do.
There is something to be said about the, you know, that purposelessness affects the sexes differently. I feel like maybe women, there's some kind of like, maybe like small day-to-day ambition that women can get into that kind of confers, you know, there's a social circle, there's activities that, you know, the coffee, the, even the gossip, the things kind of just like with little puzzle pieces build up the meaning of a day without, you know, you having to have like this big, you know, conquest on the horizon and this big motivating thing. Because I see a lot of men are not very motivated by that stuff. Like, there's no, yeah. You know, so there's, I feel like that there's two, you know, there's two speeds for men. There's off and on, but on needs to be, there's very,
very on.
Yeah, it has to be very, very on. So you need like a motivation, you know, like your government issue wife is waiting for you at the end of the horizon. If you, I don't know, beat the barbarians at the gates, or, you know, there's all sorts of things contingent here. But yeah, there has to be something really. And I think a lot of the tensions in modern relationships are because of that, because a lot of what men are supposed to do is not like a grand mission. They kind of have to do the same stuff. We all kind of do the same stuff. We go to our email jobs, and for women, you know, it fills up the day. You know, we also have more, you know, female friendships. Some of us, because I'm a little bit autistic, so I've got, you know, a few female friendships.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the guys essentially, you know, they find meaning in simulations of, you know, things that tickle that sense, you know, and then that's right. Why I guess video games are video so games. Important. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. There is sort of this malaise, I think, in general of kind of like modern suburban catered to life. But I do think it actually happens for both men and women. It's probably, I would guess the bar is a bit higher for men in that way. Like you said, like women are really, and it's true, like we are really fulfilled just by being able to like socialize with our friends and maintain like those social relationships and connecting with people. That is, it's nourishing for everyone, but I think women probably do get more out of that alone. But it's funny because there's a lot of talk about in the right how like men need a mission and, you know, they need like an adventure or else, you know, they're kind of suffering for it. And in this way, it's interesting how similar many of like feminist texts are actually with a lot of like manosphere talking points. This is basically like the feminine mystique, but for men, if you actually like think about it, you know, she talks about like the problem with no name and how like women were just like at home all day with like not really enough to do, not really like a real purpose. They just felt this malaise. And I think men are also feeling the effects of kind of post-war abundance and, you know, suburban lifestyles. They do kind of miss something that people did have in the past. And it's not that I think every person lived like this great adventurous life. I don't think most men really even had that, but there probably was something more to being able to like farm your own land and own it, and essentially, rather than going into an office under fluorescent lights and commuting and looking at a screen, and you don't really get to ever see like kind of the, you know, the actual like effects of like the finished product of your labor. You know, it's just like I'm moving stuff around in Excel and I'm writing emails, you know. It doesn't really feel like at the end of the day you've really done anything. It kind of doesn't exist. It's on this weird screen and just goes away. There's nothing you can really point to. And I think that kind of occurs for everyone, but it probably does affect more just because men more because they don't have that kind of those same social attachments to other people. And there's just something else that they kind of need, I guess, on top of that. But it is always kind of made me laugh how many of the manosphere talking points really do sound like feminist texts from like the 50s and 60s. If you just kind of flip the genders, even the idea of like alpha fucks, beta bucks, that's the Madonna whore complex. But for men, right? It's the same idea. And I think we're actually all just kind of suffering from the same sort of malaise. We know there's something missing. We can't quite name it. It's not quite right. But, you know it's there. And women do feel it too. But yeah, men do need something more. I don't know if they need something more physical.
Yeah, like the mines.
Maybe they need to be returning to the mines. Like, they just have so much of this excess like energy. I feel like that just needs to get out and put into something. And I think a lot of that actually gets like transmuted into this like overly like sex obsessed person in many ways. And a lot of like the obsession today with like porn and I don't know, like spinning plates and all this stuff, like to the degree that it's at in the broader culture and how much it's talked about, I think it's sort of a replacement for that energy. They're just not creating things as they used to. Maybe they need to like pick up carpentry or something and start making things for their wives. There's this account on TikTok where this woman just shares all this stuff that her husband makes for her around the house, and they're like the sweetest little couple. Like, you can just tell like they're really, really in love, and the way he just expresses it is just he makes all these little things around the house that just make her life easier, and he's able to like put that energy to something that's he can actually see and is useful, but also like makes the people around him feel really loved. And I think that's really like kind of the ideal of what masculinity should be. And unfortunately, that energy is just getting put into, I don't know, like being on the internet and creating like a rape caravan, I guess, a group chat.
I mean, it's interesting how many and how diverse the surrogate activities are that people kind of engage in now, like to use the Kaczynski phrase. I think people just kind of fall into the particular gendered obsession. I mean, nowadays you kind of have women with, you know, skincare stuff, and then essentially men either fall into war games or sex games, because that's kind of like the path of least resistance, I think.
Yeah.
I think on the other side of that is also kind of this denial of death, and also just the fact that, you know, it's easy to deny death when you have superabundance. Because I keep talking to people, you know, here from older generations, and, you know, the lady who looks after my kids in the morning, she's about in her 50s, and, you know, the stories she brings to me, like, oh my God, you know, just like of children dying of exposure and stuff. And like, you know, this was very, very common until recently. And just the attitude that she has, I mean, she's like relatively modern compared to, you know, probably most of the world, and definitely compared to her parents, two or three generations back, that was literally the Middle Ages here. So the attitude towards life and death and subsistence, survival, like the question of, you know, what's my purpose? What's my meaning? You know, why am I here? It just did not occur to people, you know, right. Even time was a different, they felt time differently, you know, a death in the family, even a child dying, you know, it's just nowadays, just even imagining that, I'm probably going to end up in a mental institution if something like that happens to me.
Right.
But for them, you know, like my this lady, she had 8 siblings. 2 of them died shortly after they were born. You know, you keep on keeping on. It's a completely different world. And I know a lot of men would think that, you know, they're hard and they could steel themselves against, you know, the vicissitudes of life. But everyone is soft.
Yeah.
Everyone is extremely soft.
All of our psyches have been built by this abundance. Like, you can't just, I don't know, like, will it away. It's just, you know, like, that's who we are now. People in the past, like you said, they didn't really have to worry about those same questions. And it was very normal to have multiple children die. Where, yeah, now, like, people many people, like, never make it back from that psychologically. In the past, you just had to keep going. So,
yeah, there's for your other 6 children.
Right, your other 6 kids. There's actually just like a lot of time to like sit with things and actually like feel them in a way that's, I don't know, it is like a blessing in it. I do think you can like actually go forward with that and make something even better. But I think, unfortunately, most people are just kind of getting stuck on not being able to move past it, whereas in the past it was all just okay, repress, move on, and that comes with its own problems. I think that's a big part of why a lot of boomers are a little kooky, to be honest. There's they have their own pathologies, but they are able to actually wake up, go to work, get through the day, and a lot of young people aren't. They're just stuck, and they don't know how to actually move past the feelings, because we just, I don't know, we don't like currently have like a set of ways to really do that, at least not one that's like widely known and taught and like a part of the broader culture. Yeah, people are just a lot, they have the time to feel these things, but they don't have like the tools to actually deal with that. So it's just a rough spot that everyone's in, and men are there too. They want to deny it a lot on the right, but we're all affected by it. You know, they're not like, men aren't actually complete robots. I know a lot of them wish that were the case, but it's not. Men are actually, they're very emotional. And I don't know if you've noticed this with your own kids, but a lot of people will say like they're boys. I think Cernovich actually just tweeted about this, and I've seen this myself. A lot of young boys are actually way more emotional than young girls. They cry more. They have like really intense feelings. There's just a lot of like excess energy going on there. And then we just kind of stamp it out of them. But I think men are actually very deeply, deeply emotional people. And that's why we're seeing what's happening essentially on the right or just on the internet in general with men. Those are all very strong emotions. They're all coming from a very deeply emotional place. And we're not really good at dealing with emotions in general, I would say, in the society. But we're, men especially have not, do not have the tools for it, unfortunately. We're very much ill-equipped them for the very intense feelings that they do have.
Also, let's do a hypothetical. Let's say tomorrow in some parallel universe, you wake up as an incel. How do you go on? What do you do? You know, do you log on to, you know, booksmaxing.com or whatever forums they have? Or, you know, what resources do you use? How do you navigate this new world?
I mean, I would do what I think women have always been trying to do. Just do everything they can to get hot. Right? Like, there's a lot of girls that grow up, like, you know, ugly, not attractive, like, not wanted by boys. And the answer always given to them is lose the weight, dye your hair, like, fix your skin. Like, it, you know, it's just, and women spend a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of energy fixing all of that so that they can get a mate. And I think men just aren't really accustomed to that being their reality. And it's the first time that they're having to kind of deal with that, and it's breaking them. And I wish that they would maybe see how hard that is and kind of think, wow, okay, being a woman must, for all those years, must have been kind of like psychologically difficult. Maybe why women seem, quote, crazy is because of some of those pressures. Now that I'm feeling them, but it doesn't seem to be that's the case. It seems more just to harbor actually more resentment. But yeah, I do get why they feel crazy, because women have been feeling crazy about it for a really long time. It's just, we kind of just had to deal with it. And it's really unprecedented that men are just now kind of having to deal with it. And I hope, you know, in the future, like, we'll equip young men with that, like, better. But I don't know. I don't know if that's actually going to get better. I have a feeling it's going to keep getting actually kind of worse for a long time.
I hope you enjoyed this shorter version of the Subversive Podcast. For the full version, for the full archive, and for pretty much everything I've written in the last 3 years, please do head to the Substack link in the show notes, or to Patreon if you just want the audio version of the podcast. Thank you so much for your support. This is literally what keeps the lights on, the sparkly, twinkly lights that I got for the podcast, and puts food on the table of my children, multiple. So thank you so much for your kind support, and see you next time.